The joys of working with a posthumous composer this time on Culture File, as we have the second part of our conversation with Bologna-based silent film music evangelist Timothy Brock, whose musical restoration work has included saving dozens of silent movie scores composed by Charlie Chaplin. What kind of a composer was Chaplin? I mean, this is the thing that people may not know, that the scores you're working on have their roots in Chaplin's own work, his own compositions.
I mean, the thing is that Charlie was a composer before he was an actor. He was playing, or at least a musician before he was an actor. And he, you know, was in the 8 Lancaster Lads as a child, performing on stage, both musically and in dance. His parents were both professional musicians in the English Music Hall growing up. And so music has been a very, very large part of his life since his start in the theater. And Charlie started composing his own, you know, his own songs, essentially, and publishing them in the mid-teens with the Charlie Chaplin Publishing Company. And then, of course, he took his first stab at composing for his own films in 1931 with City Lights. He was self-trained, played everything by ear, as were many, you know, Tin Pan Alley composers at the same time. Irving Berlin couldn't read a note of music, for example, and wrote thousands of songs. Charlie was one of those guys. In fact, was friends with Irving Berlin and lots of other composers. Charlie was a real magpie. He was always stealing from somebody. For a good reason. I mean, that's what most composers do anyway. But he was quite shameless about it. And, you know, that the Gold Rush score sounds, you know, there's actually quite a bit of Brahms quotations in there. But there's also things like Debussy and he's, you know, and Smile is built just like a Puccini aria. I mean, he just loved music, listened to it all the time, and tried to mimic what he thought would be useful for whatever scene he was looking at. He was a composer that was very much interested in character building in his music. He would develop characters, particularly obviously the tramp character. A lot of the music that he composed, I think, stems from his time with the Fred Carno Company, which was the touring English music hall group that he was a part of, and what's what actually brought him to America for the first time with Stan Laurel. He was influenced, I think, a lot by the music director of that company, who used to play music that was quite delicate, quite with a lot of finesse, while he was on stage falling about and doing amazingly funny and absurd things and through his characters on stage. But yet the music remained dignified and always rather, quote-unquote, high class. That's what he, I think, applied to his own film scores throughout his life. He never started composing until the film was finished. He would play with the piano, and he would just pick out tunes and chord structures on the piano and say, I would like this, and I would write this. But he was very specific. He told his musical associates, which is what he called them, he wanted, even if the rhythm was in 5-4 or 7-8 or something like that, he insisted that it comes out just exactly how he hears it in his head. So when he was making tunes for, like, example, Modern Times, he would pick out tunes and melodies and chord structures and then David Raxon, who was, incidentally, my orchestration teacher, he wrote down everything in a short score form. Then he would essentially orchestrate it after he played it back for Charlie and he gave its approval. Then he would orchestrate it. And then they'd take it into the studio. He would listen to it and he'd give it sometimes just one pass and say, no, that doesn't work. Let's do it again and start the whole process over again. And that's why it took over 6 months to do the film score, to record the film score to Modern Times, because of he made his music just as he would make his films. It's just by trial and error. There was no script, so to speak, with the music. He just said, that works, that doesn't work. So there are moments where he realized that that whole thing needs to be cut, which makes it difficult for live performances because there's sort of awkward transitions.
You have a great example of that in your restoration of The Score of Women of Paris, which is kind of cutting back and forth between the boudoir and the left bank party scene.
Yes.
A smash cut back and forward.
Yes, that's probably the trickiest moment, but you know. It's fun to do. It's fun to do when it comes off.
Your collaboration with Chaplin for Women of Paris, that came from what had been a hidden stockpile of recordings of Chaplin himself playing things.
Yeah, the score in 1976, which was made for a re-release, came at really towards the end of Chaplin's life. And his musical associate at the time, Eric James, which was his longest serving musical associate from 1959 to his death in 1977, was problematic because a lot of the compositions that there just wasn't, Charlie couldn't come up with enough material. So they had to stretch it, do a lot of repeats, a lot of things like that. And it just made for a not too successful score. And the family wasn't sure what to do about it. In 2003, I think, they came across a bunch of dictation tapes of Charlie composing music for Limelight on the piano. And that's about 20 hours of him composing through dictation. As I said before, Charlie could not notate any of the music that he played. So he would play into this machine. Once this machine was invented, he'd started playing into this machine for his musical associate to transcribe all the music he was playing. I had the idea to use music that I knew was never used before in a Chaplin film. In other words, the previously unused music passages I transcribed by ear onto paper and identified about 25 pieces of music, essentially. That was never used, that Chaplin composed. And because it was composed for his only other drama, Limelight, I thought it made sense to maybe use this new material for A Woman of Paris. And so I came to the family and I said, let's just try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, it's worth it trying. And we did, and we were quite happy with the result. I used that, and also there's bits of the 1976 score that Charlie did compose. I incorporated that with this material and, you know, made a new posthumous score.
Composer Timothy Brock there, and you heard archive recording of Chaplin at the piano provided by the Chaplin Archive from the Chaplin office in Paris. A Woman of Paris with music by Chaplin, newly restored and orchestrated and conducted by Timothy Brock, will be screened at the IFI Dublin on Saturday, 23rd of November as part of this year's French Film Festival. IFI.ie for tickets and details.